This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Totally distraught in his life. Time and time again, my brothers and sisters, I get brothers emailing me, I get brothers calling me, and sisters as well, who may be suffering from a type of addiction. Whether this addiction it is watching pornography, whether it is he's addicted to his girlfriend, whether it is that he just seems to be so indulged in a particular sin. This kitab that was authored, my brothers and sisters, by Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, is called Ad-Da'u wa-Dawa, the spiritual sickness and its cure. And when you look at the muqaddim, the introduction, you can kind of feel from it that the questioner who asked the question, and because of it, Imam Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala wrote this whole kitab, which is quite a lengthy book, was because of a serious addiction that he was suffering from. And even mentions in the question that if he was to now carry on, this would destroy his dunya and likewise the akhirah. Inshallah ta'ala, in this sit, I will be covering some of these points bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. The first point, my brothers and sisters, from the effects of sins, it is hirmanul ilm. Is that an individual, he is deprived of knowledge. My brothers and sisters, me and you have been created for one sole purpose, and that is to worship Allah Azza wa Jalla alone. We've probably heard this verse a million times. And for a million and one time, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I didn't create the jinns and the jinn and the ins except to worship me alone. That's our sole purpose as to why me and you have been placed in Reading, we've been placed in Leicester, in London, wherever it might be, for this sole purpose. And a person, my brothers and sisters, he can't worship Allah Azza wa Jal how he should be, except by having knowledge, by learning the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal. But there's aspects, issues that cause a person now to be prevented. It could be that there is a barrier between him and starting to seek knowledge. Or maybe after he sought knowledge, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees that this individual, he forgets the knowledge that he has. One time, my brothers and sisters, Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala, the great imam from the four greater imma, sat in front of Imam Malik. And when Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala saw the sharpness, the intelligence, how clever, how smart Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala was, he said to him, إِنِّي أَرَى أَنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ أَلْقَى فِي قَلْبِكَ نُورًا. I see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed a light in your heart. فَلَا تُطْفِئْهَا بِظُلْمَةِ الْمَعْصِيَةِ. Do not cause that light to disappear, to become extinguished through sinning. So Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala, later on in his life, my brothers and sisters, started suffering from a loss of memory. All the mahadith that he memorized, some of it started being affected. So he went and complained to Waqi' ibn al-Jarrah, another great imam. And I'll explain later what kind of individual Waqi' ibn al-Jarrah was, and why specifically Imam al-Shafi'i, although he had so many teachers, he went specifically to Waqi' ibn al-Jarrah. And there's these famous lines of poetry, شَكَوْتُ إِلَى وَكِيعٍ سُوَ حِفْذِي فَأَرْشَدَنِي إِلَى تَرْكِ الْمَعَاصِي فَأَخْبَرَنِي بِأَنَّ الْعِلْمَ نُورٌ وَنُورُ اللَّهِ لَا يُهْدَى لِعَاصِي. So he said, I complained to Waqi' due to my loss or my bad memory, and he directed me to leave off sinning. فَأَخْبَرَنِي بِأَنَّ الْعِلْمَ نُورٌ. He told me that the ilm is nur, is a light. And the light of Allah Azza wa Jal is not given to a sinner. Imam Waqi' didn't say to him, oh, Imam Shafi'i, you're getting very old, don't worry about it, it tends to happen. He said to him, leave off sinning. Sometimes, my brothers and sisters, we may feel like when we walk into the masjid, we just can't sit down. We can't keep patient for maybe 40 to 45 minutes. But maybe we sat in front of a football game that goes on for 90 minutes. We can sit there and we won't even flinch. Our attention, our mindset is all stuck on the football game. Likewise, that which is even more longer and the duration is much more is a film. Anybody that walks past, we throw something at him. Get out the way. What about when it comes to ilm, my brothers and sisters? It's from the ways to know that there may be something wrong with our hearts. This is why that which is very similar to it, Imam Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he mentioned something very powerful. He said, لو طهرت قلوبنا لما شبعنا من كلام ربنا. Had our hearts been pure, we wouldn't have become bored of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And again, that's a way to see if maybe our hearts are suffering from something that is a sickness. Also, like I mentioned earlier, my brothers and sisters, it could be the reason why a person has memorized 1,000 hadith. And because of the kind of environment that he's in and what he's looking at, some of the unlawful images on the internet, and just not managing to lower your gaze on a hot summer like this, could be the reason why a person really loses out. And that which he has, 500 completely goes down the drain. I remember, subhanAllah, one brother said this to me when I was in Yemen, maybe good 7 years ago. Because I fear for you, Muhammad, if you go back, that you're going to forget half of the Quran. The second point, my brothers and sisters, that was mentioned was hirmanu rizq. A person is deprived of provision. Recently, my brothers and sisters, a brother called me. And he said to me that he's a brother who's got qualifications, and every direction he looks in and every means that he tries to take, he just doesn't seem to be finding a job. He's tried, and he's got issues with his parents. He's having problems. He goes to the masjid, he's got an issue. He goes to his mom's house, it's just issues again. Him and his dad, they keep clashing. And my brother and sister, studying this kitab, just going through these effects of sins, Ibn al-Qayyim mentions somewhat, 24, which is going to be mentioning a few of them, begins to make you understand and see sometimes where the problem lies. So I started asking him question, are you somebody who may be indulging in sins? Are you controlling your eyes? Because alhamdulillah, I started practicing. I don't have that addiction that maybe other brothers are suffering from when it comes to being addicted to pornography. And this is something that is very, very prevalent. So I said to him, what's the problem? What is your relationship with you and your parents? And he said to him, me and my dad, we keep arguing, and sometimes I get angry. I might be a bit stubborn. I've got maybe arrogance, and I shout at my parents. It's not rocket science now to realize what the problem is, right? Yes, you might not be stealing. You might not be watching haram stuff. You've now fallen into a major sin, and that is uququl walidain, being undutiful to your parents. And that is a big, big major sin. Very, very serious. In many places in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala connected a shirk with what? Birr al-walidain, or being bad to your parents. وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّهِ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا, in Surah Al-Isra. Likewise in Surah Al-Nisa, وَعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Again, the two matters were connected. Likewise, Surah Al-An'am, قُلْ تَعَالُوا أَتْلُ مَا حَرَّمَ رَبُّكُمْ عَلَيْكُمْ أَلَّا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. That you don't commit shirk and you're good to your parents. He says, I pray sometimes at home, and because my family, they don't see the raf'u al-yadayn to be correct, because they're more cultural type individuals, I do the raf'u al-yadayn. And because of that, he's upsetting his parents with it. This is again another problem that a lot of us shabab, when they start practicing certain acts of the religion, even though it might be the sunnah. Of course, raf'u al-yadayn ja'a fi Sahih Bukhari. Umar radiallahu ta'ala narrated the hadith. An-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yarfa'u يدي حذو من كبير إذا افتتح الصلاة وإذا كبر للركوع وإذا رفع رأسه من الركوع سنة without a shadow of a doubt. But he starts practicing, but maybe now that his family is not used to this particular sunnah, and they're told only the Wahhabis do that. Miskeen parent doesn't understand. He comes from a background where there's a stigma attached to it. He's rubbing the raf' ul yadayn in his face. You gotta be wise and explain to him, you know, how you came about to this type of conclusion, because this clash is taking place. And I was being very harsh with him on the phone with regards to this aspect, because the youngsters, they keep doing this. Maybe go to your parents and say to them, "Daddy, look, we haven't been doing this for so long, but I found this hadith today. What do you think?" Really, a parent is just going to come and deny the hadith just like that? There's a hikmah, there's a way to going about. Point of the matter is, I told them this exact same point, that the ma'asi, and this is one of the major great sins, it's from the means that cause a person to be deprived of provision. Well, he called me 2 weeks later and he said to him, "Akhi, my life's totally changed. My relationship with my parents is much, much better. I deal with them in a better way. Alhamdulillah, you know, doors started opening up." Because the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what did he say? "Inna ar-rajula la yuhramu ar-rizqu bi khati'atin ya'maluha." A man, he is deprived of provision because of the sin that he commits. Sometimes we've got these iPhones and these Galaxy. I'm a lawful iPhone, loyal iPhone, so I don't know much about Galaxy. We're carrying it, all of a sudden it drops. Screen breaks, right? How much does it take to fix the screen? £80, £90. Times like this, we might want to think about, maybe that happened because of a sin that took place. And that only causes one to repent to Allah Azza wa Jal, right? Sometimes you get into a car crash or you scrape something, that's going to cost you money. Or maybe you end up breaking something that is quite costly. It may have had something to do with something that you've done, something that you watched, or something that your eyes looked at. Muhammad ibn Sirin, the great tabi'i. My brothers and sisters, when he became old, he was overwhelmed with a lot of debt. He's a tabi'i. You know what he said, guys? He said, "I am now suffering from this calamity," this tabi'i saying this, "because of a sin that I committed over 40 years ago." He became overwhelmed with debt. And the scholars, they say it's because he belittled somebody. Maybe because somebody was suffering from some financial difficulty, he put him down. So Allah Azza wa Jal trialed him with that very thing. And that shows you, my brother says, how immense these people were. Not only was he deluded, not only was he not a person that was deluded, because sometimes we get a bit deluded thinking that, oh, you know, life goes on. It's maybe because of a good deed that I've done. But rather, this individual, he led such a wonderful life that he realized it was because of a mistake that he done. That means that he was, subhanAllah, staying away from sins. He was doing good deeds all this time, and that stood out for him for all these years. This is why, you know, the Arabs, they've got a saying, أَنَّ الزَّانِي دَائِمًا يَفْقَرُ. They say as such, the fornicator, he will always be afflicted with poverty. The fornicator, the one has a girlfriend, his money ain't gonna last long. And I have these discussions every now and again when I'm in Saudi Arabia and Medina on the taxi. They mention something very similar. You might have money today, but you keep committing zina, that money ain't gonna last long. Something that has been seen, something that has been known. Mention three more, inshallah ta'ala. But before that, going back to this point, on the flip side, my brothers and sisters, doing what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told you to do is a means of Allah opening hundreds of doors for you. Because what is a taqwa? فعل الطاعات واجتناب المنهي is to place a shield between you and that which you fear. And that shield is doing what Allah told you to do and to stay away from the things that Allah told you to stay away from. And Allah tells you, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. You come with taqwa, doors will be open for you. And you will be provided from where you don't expect. I can go from one story to another story of real life experiences of brothers and sisters who left their haram jobs for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, because he wanted to do what Allah told him to do. And Allah Azza always gave them that which is better. And in every case, he's earning more money. Because of the hadith, the Messenger of Allah alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّكَ لَن تَدَعَ شَيْئًا اتِّقَاءً لِلَّهِ إِلَّا أَعْطَاكَ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا مِنْ. You don't leave something because of a taqwa, having a taqwa for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, except he will always give you that which is better. That is known. So many brothers, I might get carried away mentioning these stories, even though Sheikh Naeem said it has to be short. Just this one brother, I remember, used to work in car phone warehouse in the call center. Not the shop, the call center. Between Leicester and Loughborough is half an hour, so he's commuting every day. And of course, at the end of the week, the petrol money is going to, petrol expenses is going to add up. It's going to cost quite a bit, right? Half an hour going, half an hour coming back. I remember when all of a sudden they introduced that he has to now start selling insurance. Of course, little knowledge that he had with regards to religion, said to the manager, I'm sorry, but this goes against my religion. He goes, no, you have to do it. So the brother now is pondering. He came to me, I told him this one hadith. And I tell the brothers always this hadith. And it's one of my favorite, the hadith. Even before I started seeking knowledge, this is one thing that I knew. One of the very few. And I always place it between my eyes. You don't leave something for the sake of Allah, he will always give you that which is better. It's a promise from Allah Azza wa Jal. And he does not fail in his promise. وَعْدَ اللَّهِ لَا يُخْلِفُ اللَّهُ وَعْدَ. And I remember, subhanAllah, as well, this brother had just got married. Normally when you just get married, the girl wants to be taken out to the ice cream parlor, right? Restaurant every couple of days. She wants the Louis Vuitton Dolce Gabbana bag. Pocket starts hurting right at the beginning of marriage. And it's understandable. Perfectly fine, you just got married. Wallah, he would sit in the masjid, I would see him dhuhr time. And he's making one of them sincere du'as. See, the brother's going through pain. And of course, you leave something for the sake of Allah, you do what Allah tells you to do, you're going to go through a trial. You're going to go through some difficulty. The brother left it. I remember Allah Azza wa Jal replaced the job that he had. I think he was earning at that time maybe £14,000 a year. He ended up earning what? 18 to 19,000? That was just starting. And his job was maybe 10 minutes from his house. He beats the traffic every day at 5 o'clock as opposed to before. He's just around the corner. Not only is he saving petrol money now, but also he's getting more money. And there's story after story after story, my brothers and sisters, that I could tell you. But because of the time. The next point, my brothers and sisters, is the wahsha that a person he feels between him and his Lord. Let us ask ourselves, my brothers and sisters. Sometimes when it comes to Allah Azza wa Jalla, we feel really cold, really empty. We feel this type of alienation between ourselves and Allah Azza wa Jal. It's maybe because a sin has hit our hearts. And our hearts are in need of purification. Before we are able to now have ladha, sweetness in the ibadah. And it's not when is the salah going to finish, but rather it is me, I'm finding my utter joy in the salah. Some of the salaf, they had a getaway. Kufar today, they have something called a getaway holiday, where he just wants to get away from everything. The salaf, people like Ibn Taymiyyah and those who came much before him, from the tabi'een, the tabi'ut tabi'een and the companions, they had something called a getaway as well. But every time he entered into the salah, he would be in another world. He would be going through such an enjoyment. Mallahu bi alim. It was their paradise. That's why in the message, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one time said to Bilal, قُمْ يَا بِلَال فَأَرِحْنَا بِالصَّلَاةِ. Stand up, Bilal, and cause us now to experience enjoyment in our salah. He didn't say, فَأَرِحْنَا مِنَ الصَّلَاةِ. Cause us now to, you know, get rid from the salah and just quickly go do it, and then khalas, done, dusted. And also, my brother said, one of the ways to really get the enjoyment from our ibadat is by putting always Allah Azza wa Jal first. And see the sweetness that you feel later on. Recently I've been saying this quite a bit in a lot of the khutbahs and the lectures. When the World Cup was going on, maybe there was a multiple times when the England game was clashing with Maghrib. Remember a couple of times, I don't know about here, but I was doing some lectures in different cities. When I went to Newcastle, I remember the semi-final was going on. The brothers were making dua, oh Allah, you know, make somebody lose before penalty comes. The brothers who organized my lecture in Newcastle, so they were actually saying this. Why? Because they felt if it goes to penalties, nobody's going to come to Maghrib prayer in the masjid. And that the place is going to be empty. And then what? They lost, right? Everyone was like, Alhamdulillah, no, they're going to come to the masjid. Brothers, can we just like maybe ponder and really reflect on this point? That we would leave the jama'ah for the likes of Harry Kane and Messi and what's the other guy's name? Ronaldo. We might say Allahu Akbar with our tongues and say, you know, Allahu Akbar, which means Allah is the greatest. But do we actually mean it with our limbs? If you say now Allahu Akbar and then you sit there watching Harry Kane, you've chosen Harry Kane over standing in front of Allah Azza wa Jal, and you say, I'm going to pray when the game's finished. Whoever you've given precedence to, Harry Kane is greater in this case. And then you also have, and this is the second last point, inshallah ta'ala, the type of alienation that a person now begins to feel between him and others. All the people around you, all of a sudden the attitude towards you starts changing. People start disliking you all of a sudden, and sometimes it may be for just no particular reason. Some of the Salaf, Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentions this as well. إِنِّي لَعَصِ اللَّهِ فَأَرَى ذَلِكَ فِي خُلُقِ دَابَّتِي وَمْرَأَتِي. I disobey Allah Azza wa Jal, and I begin to see a change of attitude in my wife and also in my riding animal, his donkey or his beast, whatever he uses to commute from place to place. Or it may be in this case the car. All of a sudden he begins to see a change of attitude. Sometimes we're very quickly to point the finger at the wife, right? It's her fault. Why all of a sudden problems are taking place? All of a sudden we come home and she's standing there and it's just issues. World War III in the house. And there's no particular reason. Maybe we just took a step back, and I'm not saying that it's always the guy's fault, because sometimes you find it's the other way around. It happens sometimes with the sister as well. And of course, there's different reasons, but one of them is this, as the Messenger ﷺ told us. Sometimes we just take a step back and reflect. Maybe it's something that I watched last night. Or maybe it's because I'd done something at work last time I was there. And then all of a sudden now there's just problems and problems. It's one of the things that sometimes when it comes to counseling, I tell both parties. Just recently I was telling the sister, yes, I know your husband may have some issues, but you're really not helping yourself by going outside all the time with makeup and beautifying yourself in front of the opposite gender. Again, it's a sin that you're committing regularly. And it might have a role to play as why there's so much friction in the house. And last but not least, actually I'm going to mention two more. Ta'asiruhu. A person now, he begins to feel so much difficulty in his life. Every time he tries to do something, it just doesn't seem to be happening. It's like he's in a box. Doesn't seem to be able to get out. Can't find the door. Just darkness after darkness. And Allah tells us this. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِ يُسْرًا. And whoever has taqwa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make his affairs easy. That's the flip side of things. And again, it's from the effects of sins. The last one, my brothers and sisters, is a type of dhulma, darkness, that a person begins to feel in his heart that then projects off the face. His skin color begins to change. He may have been a handsome individual, but all of a sudden he's becoming more and more ugly. His face, my brothers and sisters, begins to change. You see darkness. All of a sudden he doesn't look the same. Again, this is, my brothers and sisters, from the effects of sins. Anas ibn Malik, Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, was known to have firasa. I don't know how to say that in English language. Sometimes when you look at some, maybe Sheikh. Sometimes you have this type of vision, you can see from somebody's face what kind of individual that he is. You can see from the naked eye as the, right? See, you know, with your vision. So one time Anas ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu was standing on the street. And then he saw a very, very beautiful lady walk past him. And she was on her way to her home. So he kept on staring at her. Kept on staring at her. He was amazed by her beauty. And then she went in her home. He didn't do anything to her. He didn't touch her. He didn't jump on her. Nothing like that. He just stared at her. Anas ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu then went into the home of Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu, because he had some lesson with him. Uthman ibn Affan was looking down. He looked up one time and then he put his head back down again. He goes, ما بال أقوام, what is wrong with some people? يزنون بأعينهم ثم يدخلون علي, they do zina with their eyes and then they enter into my home. So Anas ibn Malik radiallahu became shocked. Because is the wahi, the revelation, still coming down? See from his face. Not only that, my brothers and sisters, I remember I heard this from a sheikh. Some of you may know him, Sheikh Adnan Abdul Qadir. He's been here before. There was one time mentioning this story to us. That there was this boy, and he seemed quite of a good one. He used to phone the sheikh all the time and ask him questions. But he was trialed with one problem, and that was zina. He used to work at a night hub, whether you want to call it a nightclub, near the beach, and he would go there every night. He used to work there. And there would obviously be girls and boys meeting with one another, chilling about, gathering every night in that place. So every time he met a new sister, he would promise her that he would get married to her. He would promise her that he would get married to her. First he would do zina, and then later on he would just dump her. So for a very long time, this brother, he used to come to the sheikh's classes as well. And the sheikh could see that his face was so dark, even though the rest of his family members, they were very white skinned. So he's thinking, how come this brother came out completely different? There's one thing being dark skinned, and they say, you know, black is beautiful. There's nothing wrong with that. But what I'm talking about, you can see the complexion of the guy's face just changed from the rest of his family. You could see there's a clear cut difference. So the sheikh's like really baffled, confused. Why with this? Brother is completely looking different from the rest of his family. So time goes on and it goes on and it goes on. So the sheikh one time ended up coming late to his lesson. Sheikh himself came very late to the lesson. So someone else ended up conducting the class. So the sheikh went and sat next to that other sheikh who's already taken his lesson. And he sees his brother sitting there. And he's shocked. All of a sudden, the color complexion of his face has completely changed. He goes, I could not stop looking at the brother throughout the whole lecture because my mind just completely went. So after the class, he grabs him and he goes, I want to speak to you. So he takes him by the corner and just, you know, the sheikh just gives him his time and he's just listening to the rava. Why all of a sudden do you look different? So he then tells him the story. Every time he would promise a girl that he's going to marry her. But then as soon as he's done doing zina with her, he would dump her. But then one case was different. One case is different. One time he ended up doing zina with a girl that wasn't good looking at all. So after he was done with her, she asked him, you promised me that you're going to marry, you're not going to go to my mom. She goes, me marrying you? And he started saying very abusive, horrible things about her. He shattered her confidence and started speaking about her looks. And then she left. So what happened was, obviously this brother would come every night to that same place and he would be sitting with everybody. Every time he came to a gathering of boys and girls, if that girl was there, she would run away. She would leave. Another time she would leave. Another time she would leave. And then all of a sudden he started becoming very attached to her. So he phoned her mom and said, I want to marry her. Every time the mom asked the daughter, she would say no. And then again he would call, no. Again he would call, no. The girl that he insulted before, Allah trialed him now with his heart being attached to her. This person, he became depressed. Became emotionally attached, he couldn't eat, and he got rushed into hospital. And the brother just totally passed out. His sister, who was a da'iyah, a caller to Allah Azza wa Jal, came and visited him. And she started saying to him, do you not fear Allah Azza wa Jal? Your family members are practicing people, this. And he said that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes this difficulty that I'm going through now, I will repent from what I'm doing and I will become inshallah ta'ala somebody who takes the religion of Allah Azza wa Jal more seriously. And this is when his face started changing. It starts in the heart and then it projects on the face. Wallahi, remember, we could see the ugliness in the Houthis' faces. You know the Houthis of Yemen? Those who destroyed the previous institute that was studying in Damaj. They will be standing on the roads from Damaj, and to get to the capital, Sana'a, you would have to take a six-hour trip. And you'd see them standing there, you know, just being very boisterous. Because they were known to curse the companions, Wallahi al-Azim, you could see the difference between a normal Yemeni and these guys. You see the shirk and his kufr on his face. Also, I remember recently, there was this brother that I knew. Muslim brother, practicing, used to come to the masjid and was involved in, young brother, maybe in his 20s. All of a sudden, what happened was, he became trialed with homosexuality. And I could see there was something wrong before I came to find out about this, because he even admitted this to me. Why has his face changed so much? See the darkness, he wasn't as glowing as before. And then later on, we come to know that the brother, all of a sudden he's going through this trial, the sickness has ended up affecting his heart. This is why also my brothers and sisters, they say, you know the people who pray the Qiyam and lay through their faces. The Salaf used to say this. His face is glowing. It's glittering. Because of the night prayer that he prays. And that's exactly what the night prayer does. It places a glow on a person's face. Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala said, إِنَّ لِلْحَسَنَةِ ضِيَاءٌ عَلَى الْوَجْهِ. The hasanah, the good deed that a person does, it places a glow on his face. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from these people. Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make the dua, Allahumma aati nufusana taqwaha wa zakkiha anta khayru man zakkaha anta waliyuha wa mawlaha. Oh Allah, grant our hearts a taqwa and purify our hearts. You are the best of those who purify. You are its protector and you are its guardian. May Allah Azza wa Jal purify our hearts. Subhanak Allahumma bihamdik. Shadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. And jazakum Allah khair on short notice for being patient and listening attentively. Jazakum Allah khair.